You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is John B. from GangreneNation.com bringing you the Locked On Jets podcast on this Columbus Day, Monday, October 8th, 2018. Maybe a holiday, but I'm here today to talk about the Jets' Week 5 victory over the Denver Broncos. New York is victorious on Sunday 34-16 at MetLife Stadium. The Jets improved their record to 2-3 in 2018. It was a win the team desperately needed. It just feels bleak when you're on a three-game losing streak in the NFL. You need something good to happen, and something good indeed did happen. The Jets put together a pretty dominant performance, really dominated the Denver Broncos in this game. And I'll tell you, I'm not one to call a game early, but there was a point in the second quarter where I said, this game's over, because I was watching Denver's offense, and I know I like a couple of their young backs. They have some well-known receivers who date back to the Peyton Manning days, but as I was watching this game, it kind of dawned on me, the Broncos just did not have the tools offensively to challenge the Jets' defense, and I said, they can't win this game. There's just no way. And that's pretty much the way things played out, and I'm not one to do that during a game. Week one against Detroit, even though the Jets were dominating, you know, you get to the third quarter, the Jets are up 3 scores, and I know the odds are very much in favor of the Jets winning that game, but I was not at a point where I was saying the game was over, because I know Detroit has Matthew Stafford. They had the tools to put together a big run if it was conceivable. Denver just did not. And this game was really a total domination from start to finish. And there was a little bit of window dressing early that kept the score closer than the quality of play on both sides would indicate. You know, there were a couple, and there was a lot of grumbling from Jets fans early in this game, but as I was watching this, as it got to halftime, the Jets were up 11, and I said, man, Denver is lucky they're not down 28-3 right now, because they've just been totally outclassed in every way in this game. And really what kept it close early was you had a Bilal Powell fumble, which is a very fluky instance. Bilal Powell doesn't fumble like that. He doesn't give the ball away. So that was kind of a fluke. Then you had a touchdown, probably would have been a touchdown taken off the board as the refs blew a pass interference call. Jermaine Kearse was pretty much tackled in the end zone as Sam Darnold threw a pass, and the officials said that it was uncatchable. Well, it was uncatchable because he was tackled. You know, that's supposed to be pass interference. And then the Jets missed a chip shot field goal, Jason Myers. And I don't trust Jason Myers in a big moment. I don't really have a lot of faith in the guy, but even that, I mean, I don't think Jason Myers is that good of a kicker, but you would expect him to make that kick. Him missing a kick that short was also a kind of a fluke. So this was a game really from start to finish. The Jets dominated, and the score eventually caught up with the caliber of play on both sides. And look, I was expecting it. I told you on Friday. I think that when your team is struggling the way the Jets were, you tend to get tunnel vision. You forget that there's another team out there on the field. But the Broncos had a lot of problems entering this game. And I understand the Jets were also playing poorly, and I think a lot of Broncos fans felt like their team was going to walk into MetLife Stadium dominate, because I don't think they respected there's not a lot of respect league-wide for the Jets at this point. And of course Denver did dominate. Even in a bad year last year, the Broncos dominated the Jets when they played late in the season. But the Broncos there were lots of issues on that team. They're coming in off a brutal Monday night home loss, a demoralizing Monday night home loss. They have first place on the line. They blow a game at home. You have a short week. You have a long trip. You've got a Western team playing an early kickoff, which typically is a sign of trouble. You had a quarterback who was struggling. And that Denver team, I'll tell you, every fan base complains about its coaching, and a lot of it's fair. Jets fans complain about their coaching a lot as well. That may dissipate a little bit this week. That Broncos team is horribly coached. I mean, I'll tell you the play that really stands out to me was the first Robbie Anderson touchdown, when Roby gets burned deep. And it's like, did you guys not get the memo? The rest of the league has figured this guy out. The rest of the league has shut down Robbie Anderson, because they know you have to sit on the deep route. You don't bite on anything short. And what's Roby do? Roby bites on the short route, lets Anderson blow past him, which, full credit to Roby, of course, because that's what he's supposed to do. And then, I mean, just the way they were totally manhandled, the way, you know, I'm not sure the compete level was there, quite frankly, for Denver through the whole game. Just really the not kicking a field goal down 17 in the fourth quarter. What a terribly coached team. I know we complain about the Jets. And look, the Jets coaching staff has not covered itself in glory through much of the season, through much of their tenure. But man, that Broncos team is just a horribly coached team. So the point is the Broncos had a lot of issues. And this was really a game going in. I felt like the Jets should win this game. And the Jets took care of business. The Jets did everything they needed to do. And they have now staved off, for the time being at least, what was looking like a disastrous trajectory on this season. And we talked about it the last couple weeks, that it wasn't necessarily that losing to Cleveland and losing in Jacksonville meant that the Jets were on their way to a disastrous season, but they were putting themselves in danger of falling into that path. You know, that's the way that disastrous seasons start, and then sometimes they snowball. So this was a really important game. I think even though it was week five for the Jets, the season was on the line on Sunday. I really think it was that important of a game. And the Jets came out and they played their best game. It's not better than they played against the Lions week one, but it's a figure of speech. They played their best game. They really did what they needed to do. And now at least there's, first of all the toxic atmosphere in this fan base will be gone for a week. There'll be less in the media swirling about job speculations, at least for now, until they lose another game. But at least have a little good energy around this fan base, which will be nice. It'll at least gives us a little bit of reprieve. The Jets are in the mix now. And, I think back to last year, and I think back to 2 years ago. In 2016, everything just fell apart, and the Jets were out of it pretty much from the start of the season. Last year, they had the same record. They were also 5-11, but the fact they were able to bank wins early kept them on the fringes of the playoff race until late in the season, which I think really impacted the way the fans viewed the season, the atmosphere in this fan base. So I think it's important that the Jets did not let this spiral out of control. Now, they still have some business in front of them, but this was an important win. And we're going to talk about some of the redemption stories of this game. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today, that's MyBookie, and if you use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account, you can claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25, LOCKEDON2, 5. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on the Jets at MetLife Stadium. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving our listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you go to your favorite event. It is a victory Monday here on the Locked On Jets podcast. The Jets defeated the Denver Broncos 34-16 at MetLife Stadium to move their 2018 record to 2-3. We are breaking down what happened. And in many ways, I think the theme of Sunday was redemption for the Jets because a number of oft-criticized people stepped up and had a big hand in this victory. And I think in a lot of ways, the narrative from this game might be that the criticisms these people received in the past was unfair. I'm not sure that's the case. A lot of these people were not performing prior to week five. Just performing in week five does not necessarily invalidate criticisms when they were not performing. But there were people who stepped up. I think we should start with the head coach, Todd Bowles. Whenever the Jets lose, Todd Bowles gets bashed. And it's not always unfair. I think the last couple of weeks, Bowles, I think throughout the three-game losing streak, Bowles has done some things that leave you scratching your head. Well, let's give Bowles a little bit of credit for this victory. You know, coming off a three-game losing streak, people were thinking that this, people were wondering, is this team going to come out flat? Has Bowles lost the team? They came out and dominated this game from the start. And again, it was not necessarily always reflected in the scoreboard. There were a couple bad breaks, but this team played a great game. And, you know, in some ways, they kind of overcame early adversity when they were playing well and the score wasn't reflecting it. Bowles, of course, took over the defensive play calling duties from Casey Rogers. Rogers is facing some sort of illness. We don't know the specifics, but it does sound like he is facing a serious illness. So, of course, we wish him well. And the team came out inspired. And, you know, you get the feeling that they were playing hard. In some ways, maybe they were playing for Rodgers. Maybe they were playing for their defensive coordinator. A really great defensive effort. You have to remember that Denver's early touchdown came off a turnover, came off the Bilal Powell fumble. And Broncos did not get much after that. Tremendous performance by the defense. Bowles, I think, did a good job calling the plays. We'll watch the film over to get a better idea, but on the first viewing, it certainly seemed like Bowles did a tremendous job, and he got the team ready to play. It's funny, Bowles always takes the brunt of the criticism when the team loses. When the team wins, he doesn't really get much praise, though, it seems to me. So let's give him some praise for this performance. Next guy also on the coaching staff. This is a guy who's going to get a lot of praise, I think. And this is the guy who I think probably least deserves the praise he's going to get, and that's Jeremy Bates, because I'm not sure there was a lot different with his play calling in this game. I just think it came down to guys were executing better. And that's pretty much the story of his system. Jeremy Bates does not... I'm really not impressed by the offense Jeremy Bates runs. And I was not impressed by what he did in this game. And part of it just goes back to the system, where he doesn't have a system that makes it easier on players. He doesn't have a system that puts stress on the defense, that uses motions, uses formations to create mismatches, to force, to create blown assignments. It doesn't happen. So it comes down to every single play, guys need to win their battles. And look, in the NFL, no offense can be successful or defense can be successful unless guys are consistently winning their battles. But it's not always 100% on the players. Bates' system is not creative. It is like 100% on the players in the Jets offense. In a way, it's not in the Rams offense, in the way it's in the Chiefs offense. In those offenses, the system helps the players. The system makes the players' jobs easier. That's not the way it is in the Jets offense. And, a lot of people wonder, why can't the Jets play like this every week? Well, you look at the talent level on this roster. That's the reason, because they're not getting any help from their system. So some weeks these guys are going to go out and execute very well. Other weeks they're not. And that's just the way it is. So Bates will get a lot of praise this week because his guys executed. I didn't see him do a whole lot that was different this week than he's done in previous weeks. Now, speaking of off-criticized people, this is a group that I think absolutely deserves praise, unlike Bates. I think that the offensive line, a tremendous job. Von Miller was close to being a non... I know he tipped a pass or two, but Von Miller really did not wreck this game for the Jets. The Jets dominated the game on the ground. Jets went crazy. The Jets rushing attack went crazy. Of course, Isaiah Crowell had a monster game, and we'll get to him because he's another guy who's been in the news for some not great reasons recently. But the Jets, I felt like the Jets controlled this game in the trenches on both sides of the football. And this offensive line, which has played poorly, and this, I think every bit of criticism this line has received has been justified, but this was a tremendous performance. And yes, Crowell deserves some credit. Bilal Powell deserves some credit for the success the Jets had in the run game. But I felt like the Jets were winning the battle in the trenches. I felt like this offensive line kept Sam Darnold clean. Darnold responded with a quality game. And, the run game, what more can you say about the run? 323 yards on the ground for the Jets in this game. And the backs deserve credit, but you know what? So does the offensive line, because they were opening big holes for Crowell and Powell. So, this is a unit that's been – and I go back to what I said at the top of this segment. This does not invalidate their criticisms for when they were playing poorly, because they have not played well this season. But just as you criticize them when they play poorly, and it's fair – you have to give them credit when they play well. And in this game, I felt like the offensive line played an excellent football game. Speaking of Isaiah Crowell, he's been in the news. He's been in the news because of that dumb penalty he took a couple weeks ago in Cleveland. And then it came back into the news this week because of that dumb penalty, got him an endorsement deal, so all sorts of criticism in that front. Less criticism for playing a miserable game against Jacksonville last week, which he absolutely did. He was terrible in that game, but a big bounce-back effort for Crowell. As good of a game on the ground as you'll see. Again, the offensive line deserves some credit, but Crowell was just, he would not be denied in this game. He was explosive in the open field. He was bouncing off tacklers. I mean, how about that third down play with Pecco, where Pecco had him grabbed, and Ian Eagle thought that he was stopped, and he just kept going. I mean, that was a tremendous job getting the first down there. Crowell ends with 219 yards on 15 carries, 219 yards. So a monster game for Crowell. Another guy who's been in the news, another guy who's been a target for criticism, in part mainly because of the penalty he took. But he was awful in Jacksonville last week, so a big bounce get back game for him. We talk about Robbie Anderson, who finally made an impact for the Jets in this game. The first touchdown, he had two touchdowns in this game. I said the first touchdown is 90% Anderson. The second touchdown is 90% Darnold. The second touchdown was just a great throw. Anderson really didn't do anything. Darnold just made an incredible throw. We'll get to Darnold in a bit. But that first touchdown, Anderson just totally toasted Roby. And, yeah, I mean, part of it's that Roby played it poorly. Roby ought to know that you sit on the deep route with Anderson. You don't sit on anything else. But Anderson's job is to make Roby pay when Roby makes a mistake. And that's exactly what happened. So as much as anything, we saw the Darnold-Anderson connection in this game that's been lacking really since preseason. These two have not looked on the same page since preseason, so maybe Jets fans can take a little sigh of relief. Even though, you know, Anderson is what he is, he's a guy who does one thing well, but in this instant, you know, when he does that one thing well, it can make a big impact. That's the thing about Anderson, is that even though he only does one thing well, and that's frustrating, and that may lead to some issues for him. And we've seen the issues it leads to for him. When he does get to do that one thing, it can make a big impact for the Jets. And maybe we started to see the dawning of a Darnold to Anderson connection, particularly on that second. Man, that second throw was a thing of beauty. And we'll talk about Darnold, and we'll talk about some of the other heroes in this game who have overcome criticism. We are here on Locked On Jets, breaking down the Week 5 victory over the Denver Broncos, talking about some of the standout performers. And I want to close with two final guys who did a good job in this game. And I'm saving them for last because of all the people we talked about, these are the guys whose performances I think are sustainable. I mean, I don't think Crowell's going to... Crowell may have a good season. I don't think he's going to have another game like that. I think the offensive line's going to be up and down. But I think that there are two guys who could definitely build on this performance, what they did in this game. And the first guy is Leonard Williams. And Williams is a hot topic of conversation within the Jets fan base because we're in his fourth season and there is a debate about how good he is. There are questions about whether the Jets made the right move drafting him sixth overall back in 2015. And I think it's a complicated topic. And I think you can hear when I discuss Leonard Williams on this show how I see it in a couple different ways. You know, on the one hand, a player's floor matters, you know, and Leonard Williams, we always knew when the Jets drafted him that he had a high floor, that at the very least, the odds were that he was going to be a very good starter. With that said, a player's ceiling also matters, and when the Jets picked him, it was viewed by many people as a grand slam because a lot of people said he's the most talented player in this draft. He is going to be a genuine elite difference maker. And here we are in his fourth season, and he's a very good player. But is he the type of guy who takes games over? And one of the things I've been waiting for, and I've been working through this myself. I think you can hear it as I discuss Williams on this show, is that I'm trying to work through my own feelings because it's a complex question. It's a complex topic. And the one thing I've been waiting for is for Leonard Williams to just take over a game and totally shut down an opponent. And for him to be the reason that an opponent can't do anything. And I think that's what you saw in this game. And look, there were a lot of Jets defenders who had good games. Maurice Claiborne had an excellent game in that number one role in place of Trumaine Johnson. There was Henry Anderson continued to play well. But Leonard Williams was the guy who shut down the Denver Broncos in this game. And There's been all this talk about hidden production. You know, Williams talked about it himself, about how he's playing effectively. It doesn't necessarily show up in the numbers, but I've been waiting for that game where he's just unblockable, where you're not talking about hidden product, where you're talking about actual production. A game like Aaron Donald has, just one of those monster weeks. And Williams finally had it. 2.5 sacks, 5 tackles, 3 hits, 2 tackles for a loss. He finally had it. This might be the, and I don't know, we'll see what happens going forward. Is Leonard Williams finally emerging as that? Listen, and at the very least, the Jets have a very good player, and that's wonderful. But is Leonard Williams, is this the game we'll remember as the turning point in Leonard Williams' career? Is this the game where he took things over and started to take his game to the next level? And the second guy I'll discuss is, of course, the quarterback, Sam Darnold. And in a lot of ways, I'm just relieved that Darnold had a good game. And it's not necessarily that this fan base was freaking out. And maybe it's just the people I hang around. Like, I felt like the people I've spoken with about Darnold, for the most part, have been pretty reserved. They understand the situation with Darnold. I mean, look, you're always going to have a few people who devolve into hysteria. You know, I mean, I've spoke with a few people last week who were panicking. Why are they starting this guy? His career, you know, he's not that good. They're destroying his career by starting. But for the most part, people have been restrained. People have been approaching it in a calm way. But it's nice to see Darnold bounce back from a couple rough weeks. Now, you look at his stats in this game, the completion percentage was not that good, whereas the efficiency and the touchdowns were very good. I tend to think that his overall performance is closer in line with his efficiency numbers and the touchdowns, because I thought it was a very good performance. And even though he was only 10 to 22 in this game, lots of passes, hit receivers in the hands. I thought he had two touchdowns that were two passes that probably would have been touchdowns had there not been pass interference that was not called. Officials blew a couple calls that I felt like at the very least would have been touchdowns if there was no penalty, and officials did not throw the flag. So I felt like Darnold was kind of robbed of two touchdowns. Then, I mean, I haven't watched it over. I felt like things evened out a little bit because his third touchdown pass, the one to Terrell Pryor, probably was not that great of a throw. So maybe things evened out a little bit there. And then there were some of his incompletions that hit receivers in the hand. I mean, there was one to Jermaine Curse where Chris Harris was in just an excellent coverage and broke it up. But it was as good of a throw as you could hope to make. And especially that ball to Robbie Anderson, the second touchdown. As I said, the first touchdown was 90% Robbie. I thought the second touchdown was 90% Darnold. Anderson was pretty much covered. And Darnold just threw the most beautiful touch pass you'll ever see. And I've said this many instances on this show. That, to me, is the type of throw that separates the good quarterbacks from the okay quarterbacks. The okay quarterbacks will take what the defense gives them. If the receiver's open, he'll hit him. He'll move the ball that way. But he won't take anything more than the defense gives him. The guys who are legitimate franchise quarterbacks, they find ways to get more than the defense gives them. The defense did not give Darnold that second touchdown to Anderson. Darnold took it. He just put a ball so beautifully that the Broncos could not defend it. And it's is Darnold going to be this good all the time as a rookie? No, we know that. Is he going to be as good as he was against Detroit all the time as a rookie? No. But he's also not going to be as bad as he was against Jacksonville, as bad as he was against Cleveland. It's going to be a growing experience. What I will say is this is the type of game that shows you how excited you should be after he gets some seasoning, gets some experience, and the Jets are able to put more around him. It's going to be very exciting. And the Jets have a victory to show for what we saw in this game. So that'll do it for today's show. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, subscribe. iTunes or Spotify are your two best bets. And leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great Columbus Day. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.